Welcome to the Encouragement for Work podcast with your host, Mark Griffin, founder and owner of In His Name HR. Each week, Mark interviews nationally known thought leaders from corporate America, higher education, churches, and ministries. His goal is to bring you great ideas that help engage your employees, shift your culture toward higher performance, and increase employee loyalty at the organization you lead. Each episode features an idea or process that's made a tremendous impact on employees and employers alike. Now sit back, relax, and listen in as he delivers encouragement today through this episode's special guest.
Hello, and welcome to our podcast. My name is Mark Griffin, and I will be your host. Today, we are welcoming Arturo Del Rio Jr. to our podcast, where we're going to talk about creating and retaining a high-performance sales team culture without creating competition. You know, we work with organizations all over the United States, and we run into this issue all the time. How do you develop a great sales culture? How do you lead that team to success? And most importantly, do it from a kingdom perspective, doing it without dishonesty, doing it with integrity, and doing it with forth righteousness. So today, I'd like to welcome Arturo. Arturo, would you like to tell us a little bit about your background, and we'll get into the topic?
Sure. Well, it's a pleasure to be on here, Mark. I love your stuff, man. So it was really, really exciting for me when you asked me to participate in this. But just, you know, a little bit about me. I'm a serial entrepreneur, been in big corporate. I started a little candy sales operation in my Catholic school, which they didn't appreciate because it affected their sales. So I've been at this for a long time. You know, my first business I actually owned, believe it or not, when I was a teenager. I was about 13 years old, and I started a little entertainment company, playing and singing, which actually grew into something pretty large up until my later 20s. I had everything from a big band to DJs, party rentals, and I, you know, by the time I got out of high school, I had quite a flourishing little business. I even had, I think, 17 photographers working for me. So long story short, I continued in that world, opened up a wine distribution organization before I could legally drink. It was very fun getting pulled over by police officers with open containers in my car and a license to do so before I could drink, let me tell you. But anyway, I had an accident that time, and you know, this inebriated driver hit me from behind, and it really kind of put me out of commission for nearly a year. And while I was laid up there, I realized my businesses were so dependent on me that it was really impacted. And when you're, you know, in your early 20s, you have no idea. You make all those rookie mistakes. And that was really what influenced me into, one, getting into technology, but two, understanding the importance of scaling. And it's very hard to scale without sales, right? And without people that can really go out there and crush it and move your products in a really godly manner, ensuring that they're out there to help buyers and prospects identify solutions they need and helping them, you know, with that process. But long story short, after that, I got into technology, ended up running global sales for an IBM company, went over to an organization called SunGard Availability Services, who invented disaster recovery, had the highest performing sales teams there. I was the highest individual performer there, same thing at IBM, and ultimately opened up application development companies, AI companies, and well, now I'm one of the partners and owners of ProLife Payments.
Excellent. Now, brother, this is really, we were attracted to interview you today because we have so many listeners that have businesses. They're Christian-owned businesses, and they have businesses, and we do a lot of recruitment for our clients as well in the area of sales. And sales is always a really difficult department or competency to manage. As we talk about this, do you want to kind of frame out what your thoughts are around creating and retaining this high-performance sales team? And then we'll get into the meat of the topic.
Sure. So, you know, there's this, I think, inaccurate but longstanding mentality that without the creation of heavy internal competition, it's going to be impossible to get a group of high performers. You know, there's this feeling that the motivation, you know, to be the best is really the only way, you know, the individual be the best is the only way to get that kind of a culture that functions. But you know, that kind of goes against, you know, number one, the nature of godly charity and brotherly love we're supposed to share as Christians with the intent of benefiting others more than ourselves. And believe it or not, even as a salesperson who is certainly motivated by compensation, there is a way to do both. Sure. These aren't mutually exclusive properties. And I think that's something a lot of people have missed, just doubling down on old school tactics.
So that's excellent. So what you're saying is if you're going to have a sales team and you're going to motivate them, you literally have to provide them with key performance indicators. What's the KPI? How are we going to measure it? You know, what are your goals? What are your objectives? So what are some of the KPIs you've used in the past with your sales teams to give them kind of like a dashboard, an update, and keep them motivated as they sell?
Well, I'll tell you where it all starts with the two sides, not just the KPIs, but, you know, compensation dictates behavior.
Excellent.
That's just how it goes. So instead of creating a competitive model where it is only beneficial to you for you to win, I came up with this system years ago. I'm sure there's others who have come up with similar approaches, but it's almost like a Christian brother, you know, a system where you're helping the person behind you flourish and it benefits you economically to do so. So the idea being, imagine, you know, you hire your, you know, a group of sales folks and you have a new person coming on, you have a team lead. Well, what if the team leader was compensated for how successful and how quickly he could make those behind him attain that same success? What if then after those first, let's make it simple with three people, right?
Sure.
You hire the first, you show them how to run the show, how to win, how to understand their clients. And then what you do is you create a compensation model that benefits him to bring up the next
exactly.
one, right? Yep. So now you have one person whose focus isn't just his own success or her success. You've created a basis for a culture where stretching out your hand, helping others in front of yourself really ultimately creates an ecosystem where, you know, people are coming for that purpose and intent in mind. Again, if everybody comes to take, we're left with nothing.
Exactly.
But if everybody comes to give, we have more than we need. So, you know, that's part of the mentality.
That's excellent. So you're focusing on the totality of the employee, looking at their career, not just the key performance indicators, but also factors like some training they may need or leadership development, things of that nature. Am I tracking with you?
Yeah, you're right. It's not only about creating an intelligent, and by the way, have a standard operating procedure. Don't wing it, please.
Exactly.
But the idea being here that you create a system for training, for ongoing improvement, for career pathing, for camaraderie, right? And then, of course, all the other KPIs. Well, what are the necessary calls and meetings? Those KPIs are easy for everyone to figure out.
Exactly.
You understand what your cost of acquisition is, and then you back into it. But if you haven't created that culture that breeds success in winners, and most importantly, getting new talent in is expensive. I remember, you know, back at SunGard, and this is true for most, you know, kind of upper scale solution sales folks. You're talking about $150,000, $200,000 base salaries, folks.
Oh, at least.
To replace a functional employee, it's crazy.
Sure.
You know, it costs you 1.5 years salary to replace one person.
At least.
But when you've created an ecosystem of help,
sure,
where people can't wait to jump over each other to ensure you're successful because that means their success, what does that also breed apart from productivity?
Exactly.
Retention. Employee retention. And that's something that people, I think, overlook in sales. They think about compensation, but they don't realize that the atmosphere they create is really the largest indicator of retention. And what else does that affect economically? Searching for other new talent.
Absolutely.
When you work somewhere you love, you can't wait to tell people.
Yep.
And you know, what was funny is, we work with external recruiters, and I will tell you the HR folks there, they were not of your caliber, to say that in a gracious manner. They were picnic creators.
Thank you for the compliment, and I'll pray for that organization.
Well, it's too late for them. They're gone now.
They're defunct.
Yeah, they all got sure. sold out. They actually ended up selling and everything. But long story short, my team recruited 3-1. Over the professional recruiters. Why? Because we created an atmosphere where one,
exactly,
everyone was getting paid.
A winning
culture. People loved
each
other. They loved coming to work. And it was important, Mark.
No, I totally agree. And what you're getting at is, and you know, back, I put my HR hat back on, is you're really cultivating an atmosphere of high performance. And literally, it's the infusion of your mission, your vision, and your values that create that excitement within your organization. And I've found that, and I've talked to thought experts nationally about this, and we continue to talk about it, is most organizations today that aren't successful are lacking the agility, the ability, or the support of having the integration of their mission, vision, values. Therefore, our firm comes in and talks to employees. They don't know why they're there. They don't know where they're going. They don't know the values that the organization has. The organization has values defined, perhaps, but maybe the employees don't even know what those values are.
Amen.
So what you're talking about is creating excitement and getting the organization moving forward. It really reminds me of when I supported the Gatorade brand, and the vision was to be the number one sports beverage, right? And that was even before there were sports beverages out there. It was like before that even happened. So they articulate, hey, here's our vision. And then we got everybody within the Quaker Oats Company to support that and back that. So is that kind of what you're talking about presenting to our audiences? Getting that esprit de corps, getting, you know, a lot of energy around the sales efforts.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the thing. If you don't know where you're going, how can you get there? You understand? And I think you hit the nail on the head. You can create a great culture within a small portion of the organization, but if everyone doesn't know which way to row the boat, ultimately that boat's going to sink because
exactly.
Somebody's going here, somebody's going there. And it's about creating a cohesive culture, an understanding. And listen, from the person in the mailroom to the CEO, everyone should understand the intrinsic impact they have on those outcomes and why they are important. And this is something that I think people not only miss, but actually almost poo-poo and don't care about. Well, he doesn't need to know what. Well, listen, you know, you tell me what you've done well in life that you didn't understand the why and how you impacted it, and I'll tell you that that's going to work here in corporate America too. It makes absolutely no sense, but that's most organizations. And that's why most organizations fail, have high turnover, miserable employees. I read this recently, 87% of people in America, it's not that they dislike, they hate. Hate was the word used, their job. Well, why is that? Because they're not part of a bigger vision. They're not treated as part of a group.
They're not, Arturo. And that's our life. That's our life every day. It really is as an HR firm. And sadly, it's not just in for-profit Christian-owned businesses that we support. Sadly, it's across, as you're aware, we support ministries and churches and Christian camps and Christian colleges. And they lack, sometimes they lack the same energy level, and people are there to support that mission, but they're still not certain why they're there and what it is that they should be doing to support that nonprofit, that ministry. So you make a very, very good point. And it's interesting as we talk to all these thought leaders over the last couple of weeks and months, the same theme comes out constantly. The mission, vision, values comes out all the time as a core.
Amen.
Setting key performance indicators comes out as a core, because as we talk to employees and we say, how much do you have to produce in a day? Or, you know, you look at a Christian college, how many students do you have to recruit a year for the college? You have all these different metrics, but many people aren't putting them in place to hold people accountable and also to create excitement around those metrics. So we have a few minutes left, Arturo. I would like to ask you, what is the most impactful project that you've done in the past that you could just bring a couple sound bites to our listeners, where you really watched the sales team? And this could, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be sales. It could be, you know, a college that's recruiting students. It could be a variety of different ways.
Sure.
What did you do to really motivate that organization to take it to the next level?
Well, there's no secret here. It's everything we just talked about. Without naming names, you know, the organization really had the mentality we're talking about. Just go push the button and do what you're told. Well, within my team, I didn't feel that was appropriate. And listen, I take my leadership skills from great apostle to the Gentiles, Paul. you may note that he explains why
exactly
he's asking you to do things and where the benefit is to you and why he's asking you to do things. Well, I've always adopted that mentality. So much to the chagrin of executive leadership, even though I was on that team, I felt the need to share where we were going, why we were doing it, what the importances were. So ultimately, this created, you know, the outcomes that we wanted, a cohesive team that produced and frankly, actually produced more in that year than anyone had prior in a 40 plus year entity.
That's incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. We want to thank you for coming on our show. What attracted us to you is you're representing Pro-Life Payments. And In His Name HR, if you look at the link in the description of this podcast, you can learn more about Pro-Life Payments. I was intrigued as a business owner, as a CEO, when they reached out to me because I didn't realize that some of these payment systems were supporting initiatives that many people, conservatives or not, don't support. So learn more about Pro-Life Payments. I'd like to give Arturo a minute or two to talk about Pro-Life Payments.
Sure.
And then we will close. Thank you.
Yeah, so Pro-Life Payments was created really as an answer to mainstream processors that are actively investing and participating in, frankly, ungodly behaviors and organizations. So what we do, we exist to become the world's largest pro-life donor. We offer payment services for for and nonprofits. We match or beat rates. We even have cash flow improvement tools for folks using QuickBooks and offer, you know, really a really cool nonprofit donor management system. In our world, we'd call that a sales and marketing CRM, Mark. You know, we offer all these services really to help others.
That's excellent. So not only do you offer the payment processing, you also help businesses grow and prosper so that they can advance the kingdom in the areas in which they're doing business.
Amen. And we donate 15% of our gross to help mothers and save babies.
That's incredible. And that's why we're attracted to you. You're very like-minded, your organization. We're very excited about our relationship long-term. So I want to bless you and thank you for being on the show, Arturo. And we'll have you back on in a couple months. God bless. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. God bless, brother. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
This episode of Encouragement for Work has been brought to you by JobShepherd. Post-COVID-19 recruitment has been unquestionably hard for employers, with many struggling to find quality employees in the aftermath. Religious-exempt employers have had an especially difficult time. Welcome to JobShepherd, a platform that will change all of this for you. JobShepherd was created to meet the demand by Christian employers, including ministries, camps, churches, colleges, and Christian for-profit companies in their search for qualified job candidates. Now, for a limited time only, employers post a job for free. Job seekers, come join us. You are always free. Learn more at www.jobshepherd.com.